All right, fellas, thanks for coming out here today. It's going to be good. Already the jokes are crap, so we can only go up from here. Fellas, I won't give you any real theological genius today. I pretty much don't pull apart the Bible all that much. I will promise that I will use words, and I will string them into things that will sound like sentences, and hopefully that'll fill up about 50 minutes of time. It's good. Where to begin? Something Morrow said really got me just before. I've had a pretty crap 6 months as well, internally in myself. Probably the hardest 6 months I've had in my life, and it's probably nothing big on the outside. It's just been this real kind of grinding stress and anxiety. I've actually diagnosed with OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and the cousin of OCD is a wonderful thing called anxiety and depression. So that sort of lived with me for a fair bit. We're unhappy bedfellows. But this year's really kind of come in strong because at the start of the year, my wife and I both had a very similar word from God, which was stop doing everything that you're doing, extracurricular, church, you know, no more same old, same old. And that was the word that we both kind of got, and we both kind of tested it. And we're just sitting there going, well, what does that mean, God? How can we not do anything for you? How can we not go and serve in the places we're serving, like serving at Shed, doing Shed with Watto. We started it together 13 years ago. 13? Something like that. And I've been talking to Watto about this for years, about just pulling back, and this year I just said, I'm out. I want to sit in the crowd with my son. I just want to listen. And that's really hard when you're a doer. And my wife and I, we're both doers. We just, if there's a job to be done, we'll go and do it. If the youth group needs a leader, we'll go and do it. If someone has an idea, we're on board, we'll just get in and do it. So that was the start of this was kind of like the fleshing off the bone. We felt like we were just a couple of chicken drumsticks, and he was just pulling this flesh off the bone. And we thought, well, bloody hell, Lord, when are you going to start putting it back on? When's it going to start coming back on? Because, you know, we're hurting here. We're naked. We're vulnerable. We're just a just a chicken drumstick. I actually had a dream about my chooks last night. That could be prophetic. I'm not sure. I don't really have many dreams. All right, beauty. All right. It was about them getting away and they were losing their feathers. I was just getting out too much, but I don't know. Anyway, it is deep, isn't it? So anyway, that's where we're at. And I've got my own business. I'm a sign writer by trade. And a part of what we figured out, why God has told us to get out of stuff this year, is because of what's happening in my business. And the business has just gone crazy this year. I've had it for 13 years as well. Started a marriage, started a business, and started doing Shed with Watto all in the first year. All in 1 year. And I think the Bible says something about not doing that. But anyway, that's another story for another day. My wife and I, we knew what was happening, so we had some good people around us who said, just keep going, just watch your marriage, and the rest will work out. And we did, and we're still here. I don't know where I was at. Where was I at, Shoffy? Yeah, chicken. Yeah, there we go. So I just want to talk about this for a little bit. God has just massively piled on work into our business this year, and I don't know how I would have achieved all this work if I hadn't have pulled out of things at the start. Something would have given, and it probably would have been my mental health. And so we've just been just knuckling down, and I don't like working that much, but we've been knuckling down and getting through it. And my wife and I together, we've just grown in this amazing kind of period of our lives where she's just supporting everything we're doing. I'm supporting her mothering the kids because she doesn't go to work. She's just home. Well, the kids are at school, but she's just the most amazing mother. I'll just stay on this story for a little bit before I actually talk about what I thought I was going to talk about. Because it has been the hardest year, and I just said this tomorrow, but dead set, I am going to always remember 2015. And this will be part of it, but I'll always remember 2015 because of the absolute closeness and joy that my family, my wife especially, and my kids and I are having at the moment through this hardest part. And I just reckon that's just a little side note that, you know, shit happens and it is hard, but God loves the shit. He really does. Sorry, I probably will swear too much for some of you, and I do apologize. I work on construction sites and I absolutely love it. I absolutely love working with the boys, you know, and I don't swear because I don't feel like I need to. But if one drops out here and there, it doesn't bother me. It's just part of what we do. It's kind of fun. The boys are awesome. Had this moment up in Toowoomba. We're doing some work for Quest Australia, the company that's actually made our business quite large or making us have a lot of work. And on a business, on a job site, the electricians was gold, wasn't it, Johnny? Just this cooperation between men to get a job done to the best of their ability. I actually saw God in those electricians. And they were using language, which was just crazy, but God was still there because of the cooperation. What I really wanted to talk about today, I've been reading this book by John Eldridge. I don't like to promote books too much or movies because you say, that's the best book ever. And then it's... yeah, it's good. Oh, what, you know that Prue's read it. And in your own words, you always get Margaret to read your books for you too. So Prue's read it and she's told me all about it and it's really good. It's top... It's a top book. It's a great read. you mongrel, you throw me off. So I don't like to promote books, but it's done something. My wife and I read it together. We actually, David, our pastor, said, "Oh, give this a read. This will be all right." And he didn't push it. I just went out and got it. I said, "I think I need something sweet. I haven't read anything in a while." And it's about the personality of Jesus, and we're all mates here, and we've got brothers in arms, and we can support each other, and that is absolute, that's the truth. That's what we need. And then what I'm finding out this year is that I have this bloke over here called Jesus who I have been shit scared of for most of my life. Now, I'm a Christian. I love him, but there's degrees of love. So just stay with me for a minute. Here's this guy over here. He's the perfect son, isn't he? He gets everything right. Well, he's the older brother. You know, Jesus can do it. You know, well, how come you keep stuffing up, Polinsky? You know, how come you keep looking at the girls down the street? Jesus didn't when they were washing his hair and his feet. How come, you know, I struggled with Jesus. I struggled with this guy, my brother. And I just, and it for years, you know, the father of me, I get it. I get the father heart. And I know that for some guys, it's the opposite way around. I love the father heart. One of the first things that ever happened to me when I came back into church, and it happened to me again today, Fred, I'll tell you this story. Some big buffhead put his hand on my head and he prayed for me. The first time back in church, I didn't want to be there because I was reading Buddhist teachings and all this sort of stuff. And I was living bit of a crazy life. This big fella put his hand on my head and I dead set felt something warm just pass through my body from my head, from his hand through to my feet. And I went, something's happening here. This, I never got this when I was, you know, sitting on the toilet squat like this, going like this. And it happened again. Well, oh, I can't really. I was reading Taoism. You know, in Taoism, it's about you got to sit like a certain way to do the perfect bog. And mate, I was fascinated with it, but it did absolutely, I was still, still smoking drugs, sleeping around, you know, playing up. Ah, you know, crazy stuff. So anyway, that's another story for another day. And Fred prayed for me before. I just had the same thing again. I was like, oh, that's, there it is again. There's the Father again. And it just went through my body, Fred. And that's why I was crying, because it just went through my body. He is just truly amazing. What is that ringtone? My darling. I love it. How good's God? He just gets this one. He's... this is how we started Shed. It was pretty much this disorganized the whole time. It still is, which is why it's good. Yeah, that's right. So Jesus over here, I struggled with this guy called Jesus. He was too perfect for me. I couldn't do it. I couldn't get him. I got the Father. I got grace. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but that was it, Lord and Savior. And now I'm starting to understand through a lot of different things, but what I've been reading is, oh, hold on, how come I can't have a relationship like Peter did or like John did? How come I can't sit there in that group of 12 and just go, oh, mate, gee, it was a tough day out fishing. You know, we got nothing. Oh, but then, yeah, that's right, you rocked up and you put it on the other side and then all the fish came in. How did you do that? You're crazy. I just, hey? And where's that gone? We're brothers in arms here and we sit here with mates and we can muck around and we can joke. Is Jesus playful? Is he playful? Or is he, dear Lord? That's right, I'm praying. Dear Lord, thanks for today. Thanks for everything. Oh yes, bless my family. That's how I prayed. And where he's taking me, it's a different place. And it's slowly, slowly, slowly. And he's saying, Polinsky, I have made you a fool. I'm going to do something here. I'm keeping the socks on for warmth. Now, I made sure I wore the ones that don't have the little pocket in front just in case there's a slip up. But we are in Canberra and I've lost about 2 inches, so... I told you it wasn't going to be real theologically based today, fellas. I warned you. I got a story about a mankini. I bought one for a mate. Do you know where you have to go to buy a mankini? It's not a good place. It's just eyes like this. And I look at, I want that one on the wall. Who's it for? It's for a friend. Sure it is. Not good. Thanks, mate, yeah. Now, I've just done myself in here. I've got to start with this the whole time because putting the jeans back on is going to take a while. Jesus says, I've made you a fool. And my wife tells me this all the time, and my close friends tell me all the time, and I have been my whole life, and I've just started to accept it, and I love it because Jesus made me this way. I love it. How's he made us? How's he made you? Probably not to do this. That's okay. As probably some of you do want to take your pants off right now, go for it. I love it. Pants off. Pants off.
Where are you?
Pants off Saturday. Hey? And he said, I want you to be this guy. I want you to be the fool so that other people feel okay with themselves. You know, okay, if that's the biggest call of my life and somebody else feels comfortable to just be who they are because I can take my pants off in front of 160 blokes, then great. I want to be that guy because he made me that way. So I'm sitting with this guy called Jesus, and Peter did this too in his undies. Pete was sitting next to Jesus in his undies, and all the boys were in the boat, in their jocks. They wouldn't have just been going, oh yes, Jesus, isn't it a lovely day? They would have been rough. And we all know this. We've all heard this before. They were tradesmen. They were nutbags. They were zealots. They were crazy guys. Some of them were super intellectual and really good with what they did with their money and their minds. But they were just the lads. And Jesus is a lad. Can we have fun with Jesus? I'm going to read you a story from the book. And then I'm going to tell you my story straight after it. All right. Have I got the right page? All right. This is his story about his sons, and then I'll tell you mine. All right. My boys are in their late teens now, and as such, it is easy to get them to do some chores as it is to coax ketchup out of a bottle. Several days ago, we badgered them to cleaning the windows. Come dinner time, our family seated around the table, and the brothers began, as all brothers do, to give each other grief about the day's work. Now, Fred, you might have missed some things. To laugh, and we love laughing in Australia. We love it. We love it all over the world. Anyway, they're sitting at the dinner table, and the boys are going something like, "Oh, yours is no good today," giving grief about the day's work. Sam and Luke had each taken halves of a divided window in the dining room. Sam was now bragging about how much cleaner his side was, appealing to the evidence like a trial attorney. We turned our attention towards the window in question, and that exact moment, a robin smacked into Luke's pane, fell to the ground, stunned, shook itself, and flew away. We looked at one another, mouths open, eyebrows raised, and burst into laughter. I read that, I think, on a Thursday night or something like that before bed, going, I got it, because I noticed Jesus doing that stuff in my life. Anyway, I went to bed, very peaceful, happy, happy man. I woke up the next morning. This is in this last 6 months, so it's been hard. You know, a lot of depression, a lot of not being able to sleep, pain in my stomach that hasn't gone away even now. Hopefully maybe this weekend. Anyway, I wake up and I was at peace for about 5 seconds. And I started to think about work and I started to worry. A bird hit my frickin' window. No word of a lie. Right outside where I was sitting, my bed, my side of the bed is at the window. I could not believe it. I just burst into laughter. I said, "You are kidding me, God. There is no way that you could do that." Oh, come on, Politsky, again. I went outside, made sure, I was really concerned about the bird. Made sure that the bird, like, God's just sacrificing birds all over the place. Nah, I sleep in the nude. You don't want that. So here's this God of ours. Is he a funny God? Oh, I don't know. I reckon he is. When I was in London and I was doing all the Buddhist stuff and the Taoism and reading that and still just carrying on like a clown, I drank a bottle of scotch that night, and I rang my mum. I said, "Mum, oh mum, oh so good. I'm reading this stuff about Buddha." And mum's a beautiful Lutheran woman from a long way back. And I'm having a family do that night with my auntie there, another beautiful spiritual Lutheran woman from way back. And I said, when I come back, I'm going to go to Grace College where I went to school, another Lutheran school. And I'm just going to get in there and I'm going to talk to all the kids about Buddha. And these are the absolute words out of my mouth that I can remember. And because Mum retells them to me, which is good. yeah, that's right. And I said, I'm going to tell all the kids at Grace about Buddha. We sat in chapels every week listening about God. Nobody talked about Buddha. This is how funny God is. Subsequently, Mum got off the phone, got Auntie Kay, and I think they just prayed for hours. They just were, I don't know. Yeah, and I think your mum's still praying for me. I've spoken at Grace College probably 15 times about Jesus. Never once. Well, I did talk about Buddha because I tell him this story. Because, no, you get arrested for things like that these days. It's just, what's happening to this country? So has God got a sense of humour? Yeah, he saw me there, this drunken idiot thinking he knew everything. And he went, oh, I'm going to have a bit of a game with you. I'm going to send you back to Grace and you're going to talk to heaps of them about me. Oh, that's a playful God. He is ready to play. He is ready to have fun with us. The scriptures are full of it. It's just hard to find, and I'm not good at finding it. So I need people like this who can just pull it out and show me that he is a playful God, amongst many other wonderful traits. But this one, we seem to miss a little bit. All right? I mean, Isaac means laughter. The two oldest parents ever recorded absolutely pissed themselves laughing when they found out that they were pregnant. Like, God went, oh, I see your laughter, I raise you the name laughter. Like, he's on board. He is on board. Always has been. Loves it. It's great. I got a stack of stories here. He does it to me all the time. We were up in Toowoomba just recently. Johnny was there doing a couple. We were just working on this big quest job in Toowoomba. Beautiful looking building. They've done an old church up, you know, side story, and they've put a beautiful quest apartment blocks in behind the old church. Looks amazing. Anyway, we're putting a sign up 25 metres in the air, and I just finished my Working at Heights course that Wednesday. Like, it was a 3-day course, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it's quite stressful because it's got a 50% fail rate or 50% success rate. Anyway, I knew I had to be on the job at about 7 a.m. on Thursday morning. So if I stuffed up this exam, I wasn't getting the work, you know. It just wasn't going to happen because there's so much legalities around going up that high. Anyway, I passed. I got up there. We did the job, working 25 metres in a rusty old steel cage, bouncing around in the wind, freezing cold Toowoomba. It's like here. You're pretty stressed. You're white-knuckling it a fair bit. And your body is just, at the end of the day, your body is just stressed. And I've come down going, oh, yes, we made it. We're alive, you know. And next minute, I thought I'd done everything right. You know, I set up my exclusion zones and made sure nobody came through. I was really conchy because I'd just done the course. I didn't want to get a fine, lose my license the first day. That wouldn't be good. And this workplace health and safety bloke rocks up at the fence. Steve. And he goes, pulls out his little book. So who's in charge of the elevated work platform here? I went, oh, that'd be me. You got a license? Yes, I do, sir. I just passed yesterday. here's the piece of paper. All right, what's your name? Chad. Okay, well, tell me about your exclusion zones. I went, I've set them up so people are safe, and you know, I've just gone to water. I hate it when I get in trouble. Like, police pulled me over one day and my foot's going like this, and it wasn't anything major, but I just don't like getting in trouble. Always never liked it. So I'm just freaking out going, yes, sir. Yeah, you're right. I didn't. And I'm tensing up. And he kept this on for 10 minutes. It was a good 10 minutes, wasn't it? And it was doing me in. I was already highly stressed. You know, this year's been tough enough. And I thought, here we go. He is about to write me a fine for something of up to $50,000 for something that I don't even know what I've done wrong because I thought I was doing it right. And he goes, so Chad, and last name, Polinski, yep, that's the name I got here. There's been a complaint made about you. And I'm like, no way. That's just, what, who, why? And he goes, yep, says here, complaint, how come you're so good looking? And I just went to, flip it, heck. Exact words. Holy moly, I just went, I went to water, you know.
You weren't wearing
your jumpsuit at all. No, I was all high-vised up. But I had that much emotion that I just hugged this perfect stranger. I just said, you mongrel or something. And just hugged him. And I didn't realise this until the other day. I reckon God punked me right then. I have no idea why that man was there and why he chose to. It was just bizarre. It was just so bizarre. I've been on a lot of construction sites, never seen a workplace health and safety officer. And here's this guy standing at the gate, ready to just do me in. And it was just funny. You know, we laughed about it so much, but the tension, oh gosh. Anyway, I know, we got set up. Well, kind of. He reckons he didn't have anything to do with it, but. But can he do this? Does he like to play with us this way? I think he does. I really do. There's so many things in the Bible where he's doing it. You know, in your own life, you just go, oh, that's right. Laughter is so good. Laughter is amazing. I did have something I was going to talk about there, but I'll go somewhere else. Just a second. That's all rubbish. So another story of how intimately involved. So it is funny, but he just wants to talk to us every day, more than once a day. He just wants to talk to us like this. Hello, mate. My prayer life is now, g'day, mate. I don't even say Jesus until maybe I'm at the end because I feel I should. But why am I doing that anyway? I know I'm talking to him. He knows that he's talking back to me. We're together. Praying with someone, I'll throw his name in there and stuff because his name is an amazing name and I love talking about him. But when it's him and me, it's, oh, hey, mate, how's your day? As busy as mine? You know? So I'm walking up through the Shaley cross path up there before. Oh, side note, the first one you come to in the crosswalk up there is a picture of kids playing with Jesus. Now, you want to talk about laughter and Jesus being someone who laughs, just look at kids. And unfortunately, kind of like that mosaic up there, the picture is slightly, I think, a bit foggy. Because, and it's amazing, I love it, I love all sorts of art, but the kids are a little bit too timid for me. I just can't see the ADD kid that I train on Wednesday nights at footy just going up to Jesus like this. He would have kicked him and run around the back and, you know, and he would have tried to pull his pants down or something. Like, watch yourself. It could end bad for all of us. I just think that he's way more playful than that. And because kids teach us how playful they are loose. Kids are just loose. And something, you know, David, I give you credit for this, mate. I've learnt this year with you more and more, that when kids are just being loose, it's such a wonderful thing. And we had a moment last week at church, this kid just running around. It was just an amazing moment where we're all going, yeah, that kid's running around. And normally we'd all be kind of a bit too, put that kid in its place, and that's what I sort of said at the start. And then David really brought us into a place of, this is God. This is what God's all about, the playfulness. And we just sat there and the focus went off the kid and the focus went on to the message and what David was saying, because that's our God. He doesn't care. He's into it. He loves it. So I'm walking up the path. I got past there, had a little moment there. Oh, yeah, look at me. I'm so smart. God's more playful than those mosaics. And I'm going, Jesus, talk to me. Oh, mate, I really need to hear from you this morning. I really need to hear from you because I get nervous and I really want to say what you want me to say. You tell me whether I got it right or wrong. I'm not sure. And I started looking at this. I love nature. I love little things in nature, like little flowers and little things. And I saw this cobweb and it had the tiniest little, would it be frost? Little tiny frost bubbles on it. They were perfectly round. Each one was different. And I'm just looking at these things, perfect, There's our God in nature. I thought, oh, that's how you're speaking to me. Thanks. But I kind of was like, no, you're sort of just, that's how he always, he's always there talking like that. He's always there. And I get a text from my wife right at that moment. And it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. It said something like this. I won't read the three after it because they got a little bit racy. We were trying to think about something. I asked her the other day, I said, what was that thing you said in the kitchen the other night? Because I've got two electives to do and I really want to base it off what you said the other night because it was gold and I never wrote it down. And she'd forgotten as well. This is how it works in Polinsky House. And she wrote this morning. I think that awesome thing I said in the kitchen the other night about evangelism was saying there's no set formula to becoming a Christian. There's so much freedom, like with Peter, when he meets us where we're at. It can't be the same because of our different walks, our different stories. Freedom and grace and love are Jesus' tools. What he used to impact the world, we just have to do this. Even out of our brokenness, we can impact the world. Something about straightening my hair this morning, and that came to me. And then some stuff that she just said to me, which really built me up. I absolutely burst into laughter and tears. Have you ever done that? Where you're just crying and laughing so hard that you don't know which one's really the bigger emotion at the time. But I think that is a emotion. I don't know, Pete, is it one emotion where you can laugh and cry? Is it something on its own? And that's been my whole year. I'm either crying or I'm absolutely casing up laughing. And it just brought it to a head where, and we, in our family at the moment, we are laughing and crying quite a lot. The kids are really showing us that I'm a bit too serious at home. Kids are great for that. So loosen up, Dad. Don't be so serious. And my son just tells, I said the other day, so who's the most serious, mate? Because he's been telling me how serious. You are, Dad. You are. And I'm just like, oh, it didn't hurt. It used to hurt. But it makes me go, well, I can change. I can change. Jesus is doing stuff in me. That doesn't have to stay there. It's all right. We still laugh together. So can he take us to a place where we can laugh with him in that closeness? And I just said to him this morning, I said, you are ridiculous. I said, you're nuts. He said, no, you're nuts. And I went, who talks like that? Jesus does. He really does. He piousness gone. Religious fog, let's get rid of it. Let's find the man so that when we are in that place of absolute pain and hurt, we can go, oh, mate. Or, oh, mate, how good was that? About this point, I was gonna just leave you for five, go out the back, take my clothes off and come back here. But it's already happened, so. Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go, Watto. Exactly where I was going to go. So we had the fist pump this morning. Just that was amazing, by the way. That was tops. What a message about just, that is life. That is everyone. That's humanity. my little boys just started playing for Sandgate Hawks Aussie Rules Football Club. Now I'm the absolute proudest dad there could be. I am, hey? Yeah. Putting on some clothes. And I think that was Fred's ringtone. I'm the unofficial assistant coach of under eight Sandgate Hawks Gold. Who needs an assistant coach in under eights? We do. Anyway, my mate and I, he's the coach and I'm assistant coach, and it's great. And I missed it today. I absolutely love it. I live for it. Probably more than my son does. But no, he loves footy. He really does. He'll kick the ball 8 hours a day. It makes me really proud. So, but, you know, we're all different. And he loves it, and I'll support him. If he changes direction, that's fine. Let's do that. His first game, right? His first game, the boys are out there, the under eights, they're kicking, they don't know anything. Noah's pretty handy, which I'm really happy about. He's tall. He's one of the older boys in his group. And he's got good ball skills, so he's out there, he's dominating. The boys love him because he's kind of good. And anyway, Fred, the coach, was out there. It was getting to the last, really late in the last quarter, and they shift the boys through quadrants so they all get a turn. And he just went up. Noah's kicked about four goals, and Fred just went, all right, boys, to the two. There's three boys, and there was two really quite good players, and a little boy who's just a bit younger. He goes, all right, boys, I want you to get Alex the ball. You know, just get him the ball, hand pass or something, just get him to have a kick. Oh, none of us knew that Fred had done that. These are little things. They're little things, but they choke you up because the little things are meant to choke us up. Sage, one of the other boys, puts a kick. He's sort of here to the goals away. He just puts his laces out kick to Noah. Perfect. Noah marks it. You don't even have to mark it in under eight. You just got to touch it. But Noah marks it properly. The goal, Noah marked it here. The goal was there and there. There was nobody between him. Under eights, he can be the most arrogant little so-and-so at home. You know, so selfish with his little brother and stuff. But beautiful too. He looked at the goals. He turned away from the goals. And he handballed it to Alex. Alex stood back, like under eights do. Let me give you my butt again. And he looked, and all the kids standing in front, and in his awkward little kicking style, he just popped this thing over the goals. The whole crowd at under eights football went, yes! And not just because of the goal, because of the two things that happened just before that. The coach, the kick in, the handball back, and oh my goodness, if his football career ends now, that's okay. Because that is God personified. We've all got these little moments, and we need to celebrate them. I am bloody crying all the time now since he's unlocked this bit in me. All the time. I think laughter has unlocked the tears. And we're crying all the time at home because we're happy. And the tears are gone from pain to joy. And yeah, sometimes there's painful tears. But it's just unlocking that. I'm talking all spiritual rubbish here. He just wants us. That's all. I mean, I don't know how much more I can talk to you guys because that's pretty much, I think, all I need to say. Yeah, thanks. I will just pray. Let's talk to him. Hey, mate. I love being with you. I love it. And I don't always come to you with the fullest love I can give you. I come to you with what I've got. And every time you accept me with what I've got. And I love that about you. You are absolutely the most amazing man I've ever met. And I'm so glad that I don't see you like that older brother that I used to, the perfect brother. And you are that. But you are right here with us. I ask that you just do in the hearts of these men not the same thing you've done to me. No. You just keep taking them into the place of closeness with you and your Holy Spirit and your guidance will get them to that place. I want to pray against anything that steps in the way of that, whether it's the outside world, the pressures, the lusts, the busyness, and also the religious fog, the piousness that trickles in as quickly as we get these messages. It'll come back. And I want to ask you, Lord, just to stop it coming back and protect these boys from that religious fog, that piousness that thinks that we can't come to you and we can't talk to you like this in our undies, you know, because that is you. And you're awesome. So thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.